Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Well, good morning. How are we? All right. Bit more alive. It's 10:30. It's cool. It's good to see you. My name is Lee McIntosh. Yes, I'm part of The Rocks family. I am the youth director down in the Baldivis campus. And today is kind of special for me today because for me, being here for the first time, it's like meeting your in-laws, you know, for the first time. You know, for those of you who are married, you've all been through this, you know, that sort of anticipation. And the one thing you don't want to happen when you meet your in-laws is that when you say hi, it's them all just to look back at you and just stare quietly or laugh. Okay, that's awkward. All right, so let's move on and let me tell you a little bit about myself. As you understand, you know, we all have a bit of personality, a bit different, and sometimes, and particularly if you're new to church, sometimes you're not sure if you're allowed to laugh, but you need to understand some things about me. Okay, and I have a special affinity with Cannington. You see, Cannington was the first place when I moved out of home. I grew up in Armidale in Kelmscott, and when I moved out of home for the first time, I rented a place just over here in Cannington because I worked at the cinemas just next door. Back in the day when the cinemas were an external to the shopping centre, we're just in the car park, just to the side of us here. It's where I met my wife to be, in Cannington. It was a good sign. And then Cannington, I was renting, and I remember the night I was living in a house, a rental in Gibbs Street, just behind the train line here, and I was reading a Tom Clancy novel. I closed the book, put it on the bedside table, turned out light, put my head on the pillow, and I felt God say, Lee, it's time to go back to church. I ran away from church when I was a kid. It wasn't relevant to me. I rolled over and went, Karen, my wife-to-be, I said, Karen, I think God just told me to go back to church. And she goes, and surprised me. I was about, like I was laying down because I would have fallen over. And she says, hey, I've been thinking about that as well. We'd had no God spiritual conversation in our time together. 3 years, no conversation about God at all, 3 years. And so I rang Mum and said, Mum, hey, I'm going back to church. And that just went from there. We got married. We got baptised. We got married. And within a year of that, God calls me into full-time ministry service, sends me off to Bible college. And I've been working with teenagers for the last 20, 30-odd years. People start guessing his age right about now. I'll keep you in suspense. And that's my life. But, you know, as I said, I'm married. I've got a family of my own. I have my wife and I've got three kidults. They're no longer kids at home. They're adults at home. The youngest just graduated high school. She's 18. And I wanted to bring you a photo of my family. And I thought I can give you one with the way they look now or growing up. But I thought that doesn't really describe our family. So let me bring you this photo right now. This is photo taken about 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago. And it's of my family sitting on the oval in front of my house, and we're taking a family portrait. Me, my wife, and my three kids. I'm a big sports fan. I love sport. I grew up playing sport. If I wasn't at school, I was at home playing cricket or football or soccer or something in the backyard with my brother, and sports big fun. And obviously, for those who know AFL, I support the greatest team on the planet, the Collingwood Football Club. And I wanted my family to follow the Collingwood Football Club, and I wanted my kids to follow the family football club. And then my eldest, grade two, his teacher turned him. So he's an Eagle supporter. He loves the banter at home. And now we have this family photo. And he plays the party. It's part of the fun of our family. This is how we're wired. And so he sat there in one photo. He looked really sad. And the photographer felt so sorry for him. She made us all swap positions. She put us at the back and him at the front. But I think I deleted that photo years ago. That one doesn't exist anymore. But that's my family. That's how we're wired. I love going to the beach. I love sport. I love movies. And I've got a special passion for donuts. Who loves donuts in the house today? Yeah, there's a few of you. Yeah. So when I come home from work, my wife on occasions will have on the counter as I walk past in the kitchen, there'll be donuts. And that's when the voices start in my head. Now, we've all got a voice or two where we have a conversation with ourselves and it goes round and round circles if we're trying to wrestle with something. But, you know, some of us may have three or four voices. Some of you may have like 21, in which case we'll make a movie of your life later, but that's okay. And these voices will start in my brain and they'll be going, donuts, you love donuts, eat a donut. And I'm going, yes, I'll have a donut. And then as I make my way to the counter, there's that second voice that says, Lee, if you have a donut now, you're going to feel sick soon and you won't want to eat your dinner. And I go, yeah, that's true too. And I'll stop the web, but you love donuts. And I go, yes, and I can smell them. And then the voice will go, but your wife's a good cook. And you want to eat that food too, don't you? And I go, yeah. But you can smell it. And the voice kicks in. And this wrestling goes on. And I go, oh, I've got to be good, I've got to be good, got to be good. I won't eat this one. And then I look at it. And the voice says, go on, you can have it. And the voice says, no, you can't. And then it's like, but it's got sprinkles. Sprinkles. How can you say no to sprinkles? And I'll be up front with you right here and now. I'll confess, there are days in my life, often, where I go to the dinner table feeling sick. I succumb, I'm having the donut. I don't care, I'm gonna try and have my cake and eat everything as well, but I go at the table, and my wife knows it now, but she doesn't care. She doesn't love me enough to hold me back and to save me from that discipline. She'll put donuts there in front of me all the time because she loves me so much. That's my family, that's my love. And one of the things, is, what that brings us to is that these voices in our head, and this is where our series is at the moment, is that we are often our own worst enemy. Are we not? We can talk ourselves into things and out of things. We can stop ourselves from achieving things. What? Because what other people have said to us? Because our own thoughts. And that's the series that we're in. This is my year. And if you've been around for a couple of weeks, you'll understand that it's those inner thoughts which we're trying to deal with and change. Because if this is going to be a different year 21 to what it was in 2020, we can't wait for the world to change. We can't wait for borders to open. We have to change. If we want it to be a better year, we need to change up here. It's how we impact and relate to the world around us and the world's been thrown at us. That's what's going to make us a better year this year. And so we've been talking about that. And if you were here last week, you would have heard that we're giving you some habits to try and put into your week, to put into your life, to help you to change your thought patterns a bit. And the first habit that we had last week was paying attention to the tension. Paying attention to that tension that is inside each and every one of us when we start to face things in our world, when we come up against things in our world, which starts to cause us a little bit of stress. And last week we were encouraged to not to ignore the stress, but to actually start to notice it. To start to pay attention to it. And if you want to know more about that, you can find out online and watch the videos from last week. But then we're going to habit number two. And that leads us, habit number one, leads us to habit number two. And I'll be up front with you. We're talking about paying attention today, paying attention to your narrative. Paying attention to your narrative. Now, a narrative is a story. And we're talking about that story that goes on in our minds that helps to shape how we respond to the world around us. Now, to help illustrate that and to understand that, we're going to take you back. And now, I'm sorry if you work in a school or if you're a young person, you're enjoying your school holidays, you're trying to forget about school. I apologise, I'm with you on this. I work full-time in a high school myself, public school. I'm a youth worker in a school, and I spend the last 3-4 weeks trying to forget all about the workplace. But today, I just need to be upfront and apologise, I need to take you back to school today, just for a few minutes, okay? Think back to when you were in school yourselves. What did you think about school? Was it a time where it was, oh, so much learning, I love it? Or was it a time of, oh man, so much work, always homework, always homework. I just want to play on the Xbox. Oh, so much work, I've got better things to do. Oh, or was it something along the lines of, man, all that stuff they're teaching us, I'm never going to use that again in my life, ever. What's good maths in the world? Who uses maths these days? Come on. And we have these thoughts in our head, or maybe it's along those lines of, teacher doesn't like me. Did you have one of those stories back in your day? That teacher didn't like me? Or maybe, no one in school really likes me. I'm alone. I don't make friends. I'm different. Those stories that you told yourself, those stories that resonated in your mind would have shaped the way you respond to your schooling. Think about the one if you didn't like a teacher or you thought the teacher didn't like you. That teacher singled you out between the whole class and every other class that teacher has, and they went, they don't like me. How did your grades go? How did your study go in that subject that year? Now, in high school, myself, I was, in English particularly, I was an A-grade student all the way through my schooling until year 12. I had a teacher that I was certain didn't like me, and I was positive I didn't like him. I went from an A to an F in 6 months, year 12. Not the year to have that hiccup, but hey, Mum went, alarm bells, grab him by the neck, we're going to see the teacher, drag me in, and I had to have a conversation with the teacher to let him know that, man, you're boring. Because a 17-year-old knows everything in this world, doesn't he? Yeah? And I had this conversation with him because I believed that he didn't like me. We had a conversation. He goes, man, I don't hate you or anything. You're another student. You're polite. But that was not what I was telling myself in my head. These narratives interact within us. Now, some are easy to change. When I was coming through, and my kids were in primary school, young primary school, and my wife did the most best thing that ever she could have said to me. She said, Lee, you need to be home for dinner more often. Yeah, I wasn't home very often at night time. I had meetings all over the place. Back then, majority of my meetings were church meetings. I had to learn to say no or learn to reschedule stuff to other times. And so sitting around the dinner table, listening to my kids, young kids, best thing, dads, if you want to know how to make the most impact in your young kids' lives, sit around the dinner table and have the conversations while you're eating. Best thing ever. And as you're doing that, you're listening to them, and I heard my kids starting to talk about stuff. Now, my kids grow up in a home where they were loved unconditionally, where they were supported and encouraged to do whatever they want and to be who they wanted to be. You know, we set no parameters on that. You can achieve whatever you want to go for. You can do that. And I started to hear things. I started to hear conversations around the table which suggested to them that they, you know, maybe they're not so loved anymore. Because when they went to school, not all their friends liked them. Not all the students really thought about them, and they didn't come first in everything. They weren't necessarily the best student in the class. And what that translated out for, which started sending alarm bells in my head, was they started to believe in themselves that they weren't worthy of stuff. They weren't good enough anymore. Or they couldn't do things anymore. And unfortunately, they're starting to suggest that opportunities, they wouldn't try out for things anymore. Because it's not for them. It's not worthy for them. They weren't up to that caliber anymore. And I wasn't going to stand by that as a dad. I see more in my kids. And so I started to do something. I intentionally started to say to them, Macintoshes are these kind of people. We're a Macintosh, man. You're a Macintosh. We win stuff. We're winners. We go for things. We're okay. And I started to build into them some of these thoughts. Now, I said to them, it doesn't mean we have to come first in everything. We can come second, we can come third, we can come sort of last in a running race, that's okay. But being a winner means that we learn how to be better at what we're doing ourselves, how we learn to give all that we can give. Did I do the best that I could give today? Yes or no? And that was how we sort of started to work. Now, I wasn't sure how much that really impacted their lives until they grew up, became teenagers, and they came to the youth group, and we're playing games, and at youth group, I started hearing the other students at our other teens at our ministry, and they started talking about the Macintoshes as being winners. And I thought, wow, that went a bit bigger than I thought it was, because that was just the way the attitude changed. I changed the story in their minds. But not all stories are easy to change, particularly for us that are older. Some of those stories that we start to have in our minds, those narratives that we have in our own mindset, they're very difficult to move. And you know why? Because they're shaped. They're shaped by things that we have no control over. Particularly three things. One, where we live in the world, where you grew up in the world, will shape how you respond to the world, how we experience the world around us, and how we were raised in this world will shape how we do things. Now, we've got 200 families here today, and we've all got these differences. We're not the same. In fact, the people in my own house don't necessarily think all the same. When we drive to work, the people we're passing on the street, we live in the same areas, our neighbours live next door to us, but they still interpret the world differently. Why? Because we were raised differently, we experience life slightly differently, and it forms these narratives in our mind and we had no control over them. My kids didn't get to define where they grew up. I had some power over that, but they didn't. And these narratives that become so hard to budge because we have no control over how they are formed will control and direct our lives unless we can change them, unless we can identify them, pay attention to them, and move through them. And so you're asking today, how do we do that, Lee? It's okay, Chitra, it's okay. We can do this. You see why? Because God created us to be a certain way. And he understands this need in us. And so he uses his people and he gave us an example of this. And we're going to look at a letter today that was written by a guy named Paul. And he was sending it to a group of believers in the city of Corinth a couple of thousand years ago. And he was sending it to them because they were living under an understanding, a misunderstanding about who they really were and how life was really working. And they were making decisions that were taking them down a journey that was leading them in the wrong path. It was hurting their lifestyle. This is a group of people whose mindset was so set on believing in multiple gods. If I have enough money, if I have enough provision, then I thank the God of provision. If I didn't have a partner, if I couldn't find a wife or a husband, then maybe the God of love was angry with me and so I needed to give a sacrifice to try and win their favor back. And so they had to earn things from their gods. That was their belief. They believed that people were property. We struggle to understand that. But back then, I could own you. If you were my slave, I own you to the point where I could define and decide whether you live the next day or not. I decide that. People were property. And they also believed that the person who has the strongest arm sets the right things, the laws. So the person with the biggest army, the strongest army, what they said goes, and what they said was actually right. That's the people that Paul is writing to, trying to understand how to change their thinking. This is a guy who knows the hard yards. And he gives the believers in Corinth, he gives them in the short verses here that I'm going to give you today, he gives us today an understanding how we can change those narratives. Cool? Here we go. Starts in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And he starts off by saying, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold towards you when away. Now you might know a few Pauls in your life. You know, those keyboard warriors, they'll say whatever they want online, send it out there, but when they're face to face, they won't even say it. But that's not quite Paul. Paul's just preparing them, as he needs to prepare us to change what we need to think through. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Note the military theme, okay? Note this. We do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Now, we need to understand here that when he uses the word weapons, in translation, the understanding of the word weapon is not like a sword, okay? It's more like a tank or a catapult of the time. It's not a bullet, it's a tank. It's going to destroy, it's going to demolish, it's going to obliterate, okay? It's not a bullet, it's a missile. When it's used, it's going to create damage. That's the weapon he's talking about, not something small, something quite large. So we do not fight with weapons of this world. On the contrary, the weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, strongholds are a key word in this. For us to understand that, we need to understand the military context of the word stronghold. A stronghold is an impregnable fortress. It is fortified positions. It is something that is not going to be easily destroyed. It's tough. It's hard to break. In fact, it's going to take something exceptional to get through. We have the divine power to demolish strongholds. What are those weapons? Well, it goes on. We demolish arguments and every pretension. Arguments and pretension. Understand, one of the things that they had to change back then in their understanding was when the believers back then were looking for a Messiah, they were expecting someone who was going to come and lead their people, lead them into victory by destroying the army of those who already had power over them. He changes the understanding and he says, we have the power to win arguments. So what is that about? Well, this is why it's important for us today. The argument is not just a disagreement between you and I. An argument is like within the court of law. An argument is a collection of beliefs, facts and figures, reasons why I should believe something. That's the narratives that's going in our heads. You know, that's what we're doing. We're bringing facts and figures and reasoning to why we do things. To demolish arguments and pretension. Now, pretension is a word we don't really use too much today. But pretension, in the way we understand this, is that he's talking about those with high, lofty ideas. High and lofty ideas. Now, for some, it might come across as boasting or arrogance, high and lofty. White supremacists, thoughts, high and lofty ideals about how exaggerated, how good you are. We have the power to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. So we have the power that anything and everything that is a false argument and pretension against who and what God is, we have the power to destroy that. Different thinking. We don't have an army that we need to conquer. We have a different thing. We have to battle in our brains. And we take captive every thought. Captive is an interesting word. Captive does not mean we have the power to ignore name-calling, to ignore thoughts. We don't have the power to just to take it and just be numb to it, just keep heaping on, that's okay. We have the power to take captive those arguments, those thoughts. Captive means control. We have the power to take control over the thoughts, those arguments that come against us in our heads. Those arguments that are against us. What is it against? The knowledge of God. So how, your question for me today is, so how do we know the knowledge of God? How do we know these things? If that's what's going to help me to get through, how do we do this? Well, we need to get to know God, don't we? It's about making it, as it says in the scriptures, it goes on, to captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So here's the clue. Paul is writing to a group of people and here's the clue to this. We need to know God. Now, some of us are going, well, I don't really know God. And if you're here for the first time, you go, well, I don't know who you know God. How do we do that? Well, 2,000 years ago, one of the guys that had been hanging out with Jesus for 3 years, day after day, hanging out together with him, Philip, one of the disciples, is in that same boat. Jesus says, I'm leaving soon. You've got to keep doing this, but you've got to keep going. How am I going to do that? And Philip says, well, Lord, if you just show us the Father, show us God the Father, and that will be enough for us. If we can see the Father, then we'll know how to respond. Jesus replies, he goes, don't you know me? Philip, even after I've been with you for so long, anyone who has seen me, Jesus' words, anyone that has seen Jesus has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father, Philip? I've been with you all along. Today, we get to have this opportunity because we have at our fingertips accounts, eyewitness accounts of how Jesus responded to the world around. We can know the Father because we can know the Son, and we can know how he thinks. We can know how he responds. We know his value system because we have accounts in his word that shares how that is. And everything that we will need to navigate through this world today, we can gain from knowing Jesus, knowing our Father, the knowledge of God. And as we take those thoughts, those narratives in our mind, and put them alongside the narrative of what Jesus is saying to us, we can start to see what is true, what is false. You were created for a reason. You were created with purpose. You are created for something special. If that is not aligning with the knowledge and the narrative that you're telling yourself, then you need to start taking a thought captive. To do that, you need to understand something significant. To do this, you really need to understand this statement. You matter to God. You matter to God. And the you next to you matters to God. The you next to you next to you matters to God. The you across the road matters to God. And when you understand that they matter in the same way that you matter personally to God in heaven, He knows you by name. If you're here for the first time, it's no coincidence. He knows you. You're here for a reason. You matter to God. And from that position, we can start to move forward into breaking down those narratives in our brains, those narratives in our lifestyle that hold us back. Matthew 7:24, Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man built his house on the rock." See, the illustration goes forward. The illustration is when the rains come, if they're not, house isn't built on a solid foundation, it gets washed away. For us today, if we don't put our foundation, our stories, our narratives on the foundation of how we were supposed to be living, how we were created to be, when the rains of culture and the stresses of life come on and push against us, if we're not solid in who we're supposed to be and how we're created to be, we will be washed away with culture and we'll start to be whatever culture demands of us to be. When we're created to be able to achieve stuff, to get that promotion, to do that new job, to speak to those friends, to overcome anything that's coming against us, if we don't believe that we matter and we don't believe that they matter, we will simply be washed away. Putting the words into practice, putting the words into action. And that sounds simple, but how do we do this? Well, it's 2021 already. We're not waiting for 2020 to finish. It's done, it's dusted, it's time to move on. And today, we're not just gonna finish. If you get to know me more and more, I just don't ever just bring knowledge. So what? Let's do something here. So I'm gonna keep moving forward. And today, I'm gonna read out a list. This is where you participate now. This is where it's about your life right now. This is where the next 2 minutes are going. I'm gonna read a list, and it's a list of strongholds. Now you may go, man, strongholds are arguments. Yeah, man, have you ever tried arguing with a kid? Man, sometimes that can be tough. They just go, no, they won't believe so. We need to break the strongholds, and to do that, we need to identify we have strongholds in our life as well. I'm gonna read out a list. Now, some of this list means nothing to you. Just let it go. For those who like cricket, understand, just let it go through to the keeper. Don't even touch it. It means nothing. But if some of the things on this list start to resonate in your mind, start to strike a chord in your heart, I want you to ask yourself and think about, what's the narrative? What's the story behind this tension within me? Just think about the story behind it. It might be painful. Think about the story behind it. What's the narrative behind why you won't call your brother? Why you won't call your sister? Why won't you call your parents? Why do you drink so much and react the way you do when someone points it out? Why did you move in with him? Or her? Why did you file for divorce? Why did you quit your job? What do you tell yourself about why you aren't more generous? What do you tell yourself about why you don't pay your taxes on time? Or why you don't pay back the debts that you owe people? Why do you despise rich people? Why do you despise poor people? Black, white, brown people? What, immigrants? What do you tell yourself about why you gave up on God or the church? The list could go on, but let's just stop there. What did you tell yourself? What's the story going on in your mind? Why did you pass up on that promotion? What was the story in your mind? And as you think about that, put it in alignment with some knowledge of God that says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." He gave his son for you. God so loved the world, God so loved you, that he gave his only son. You are worth so much to him. Is that narrative in your mind aligning with your worth to him? God so loved the world, he loves your brother, your sister, your mum, your dad, your boss at work, your colleagues at school, your neighbours. God loves them. Does that narrative that God gave his son to die for them, does that align with that narrative in your mind about how much they're worth and how much they're worth to you? Because if it doesn't, we need to start taking that captive, controlling it, demolishing it, not ignoring it. That's 2020 style. We're 2021 now, people. We need to move through. So we're going to give you a challenge for this week. Beldivis, Cannington, we're giving you a challenge. Those watching at home on the online, we're giving you the challenge. And the challenge is this: pay attention and demolish every narrative, every story in your mind that conflicts with the value system of Jesus. The value system of Jesus. You matter. Pay attention and demolish. Pay attention, recognize that it's there in your world. Align it with the fact that God says you matter, they matter. And if it's not in alignment, destroy it. It's done. Doesn't exist. That's wrong. Incorrect. Buzzer, you are out of there. I am created. I am loved and I am special. That's the words in your mind. Cool? 1 week, one habit. Pay attention to the narratives in your mind. Demolish them. Now, we've spoken some stuff out. So as I finish, I want to pray for you. And you can join me in prayer. Because for some, those chords are still twinging. Some of those things, they're hard to deal with. Like calling your mum and your dad, you haven't spoken for so many years. Man, 20 years, you haven't spoken to your family. That's 20 years of loving that you've missed out on. That might have hurt you, but that's 20 years of loving you've missed out on. We need to pray about that. So church, will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to come before you today and we want to recognize that, Lord, we have strongholds in our life that do not align with your word. Lord, we want to recognize that not only have we entertained these thoughts, but Lord, we have responded to them and held ourselves back from being all that we could be. So Lord, today, Father, I pray that you move through the hardening of hearts, the deception in our minds, those lies that we tell ourselves, that you break down those false arguments and pretensions. And Lord, with your gentleness and with your love and with your compassion and with your mercy, Lord, help us to heal and to understand and to forgive and to know the truth. Lord, for the people here today, for those watching at home, you matter. Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Help us this week to identify those narratives that are holding us back, that are in conflict with who you are, Lord, and they're in conflict with how you wired us to be. Lord, we want to give you 2021. We want it to be a great year. We want it to be better than the last. This is our year. Lord, help us to move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.